Genesis 6, 5 through 8. And this is, we're talking about the flood. Obviously, we're heading out here in a couple of days to go to the ark and different things. But so we're just going to touch on a couple of things here. But Genesis 6, 5 through 8. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Very key verse right there, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, or we wouldn't be here today, basically. Go to 6, 17 through 22, and we're going to skip through this really quickly. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy the flesh, wherein is the breath of life. That phrase right there I want you to remember eventually here. From under heaven and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee, and of everything that liveth, thing of all flesh, two of every sort, shalt thou bring into the ark to keep them alive, and with thee they shall be male and female. Of fowls after their kind, and the cattle of their kind, after every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, and every sort, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. Sorry. Verse 21, and take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. And I have underlined in my Bible, so did he. He could have been as wicked as the other people at this time. He didn't. He was different. He was set apart. That's why God honored him. God knew that he would do what he asked him to do. And God rewards him by even saying it, so did he. He did everything that he asked him to do. Now jump to chapter 7, verse 1. We'll do 1 through 5. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before men, before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and the female, and of the beasts that are not clean by two, the male and female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I have that underlined in my Bible, and I have written grace beside it. God continually, Noah's building this ark, and all these other people see him doing what they're doing, and they're asking him, what are you doing this for? Because God's told me there's going to be a flood. And God could have just taken them out because of their unbelief. He knew they weren't going to change their minds, but he still had grace. Yet another 7 days. He continued to give his grace. You got seven more days. People didn't want to listen. They just went their own way, did their own thing. So verse 4 again, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. There's a theme going on here. He does everything the Lord tells him to do. You ask him to do something, he follows through with it. Verse 9, there went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. Again, whatever God commanded him to do, he did. Verse 15 through 16, and they went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. There's that saying again. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Big key phrase there is the Lord shut him in. It wasn't something he did. He followed what the Lord was supposed to do. The Lord shut him in. Chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. And if this doesn't make sense, I was under narcotics last night, so sorry about that, but we'll try to get this to come together. And all flesh died that moved upon the earth, both of fowl and of cattle and of the beast, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, and every man, and all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, of all that was in the dry land, died. So obviously we're past the flood now, or we're in the midst of it. But again, we want to look at the breath of life, and at this point in time, everything's died. One of the exhibits that I can't wait for the kids to see. It's one of my favorite there. Shows like a cutout of the waters coming up, and there's little mountaintops, and there's animals, and there's humans on the top of that mountain, and they're fighting each other for survival. They're not going to survive, but that's kind of like us today. We think that we can do our own thing, and if we fight strong enough or hard enough, we'll get there. And all the Lord says is one way. It's through me. I did verse 22, believe. Yep. Okay. Chapter 8, 6 through 12. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made, and he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand, and he took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Now I asked, Pastor asked with this, why is it a she? And we'll keep going, and I think I figured it out. Verse 10, and he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And a dove came in unto him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. You can't keep a woman in an ark 150 days without her going shopping. That's what it basically says. He went out, she had to find something, she brought it back. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days, sent forth the dove, which returned not again to him anymore. She found shopping markets where she could go, and she didn't come back to him. The big key is, drop down to 15, chapter 8, verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, now he had gotten all the birds had come back, he'd gotten all the signs. He's still in the ark. That's a good thing, because we discover here, God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth out of the ark. He didn't do it in Noah's timing. If he's learned anything, it's in God's timing. Up to this point, everything's been in God's timing. Whatever God said he was going to do, he's done. So Noah doesn't run out, even though he's been trapped for 150 days. He waits for God's timing in it to tell him to go forth. So verse 16 again, go forth out of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all the flesh, both of fowl and of cattle, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth, and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wives, and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, and after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. And Noah built an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, offered burnt offerings on the altar. Now, when we first read the first part, there was clean animals, there was dirty animals. This is why. If you hadn't, I'm sure everybody knows that by now, but the clean ones were the only ones that could be sacrificed to God, not the dirty ones. So the dirty ones are to reproduce, the clean ones were to be offered as a sacrifice. Verse 21, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not, again, curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite any more every living as I have done. I kept getting the breath of life in there, and we got it in chapter 7, earlier in chapter 6, the breath of life. So where did that breath of life come to? Well, you're in Genesis, go to 2:7. Genesis 2:7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. The breath of life that God took in the flood, he had given. Okay? And it brings me to, I think, of three different arcs specifically. And we think of Noah's ark. If it wasn't for him, he gave the breath of life to Noah. He kept Noah pure. He kept Noah doing what he needed to do to keep the breath of life going. If Noah wouldn't have listened, the breath of life would have been gone. There'd been no more on this earth. But he chose the right man that would follow him, and he kept the breath of life going for us today. We wouldn't be here if we didn't have breath in our lungs. The other one I think of is Moses' ark. Go to Exodus 2 quick. I don't know if I can get there. Exodus 2:3. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's banks. I, all my years, read the Bible, and I never saw that till a kid brought that up to me about the ark. There's another ark. Ark is kind of important in the Bible. That kept Moses alive. That kept the person that was going to free them, bring them out of Egypt, was another ark. That ark kept Moses alive. It kept the breath of life in him so that he could do what God wanted to do. The other one is the Ark of the Testimony. And that's where God came, and he dealt with man that he had given the breath of life to. It's very important, the breath of life, as we're coming through here. It was given by God. It's ours, but it can be taken away from us just as quickly. Go to Acts 17. This will be our last place we're going to turn. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. And I'm trying to get you out of here. I know it's hot. Acts 17:24-28. God that made the world, he created everything, created Noah, created Moses, created us, and all things therein, seeing that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not, in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things. So trying to follow along with the breath, he gives us not only life, he gives us everything in our life. And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. That feel after, that's kind of like if you were in a really dark room and you can't see, you'd be feeling, even though you've been there before, you'd be feeling. That Bible tells you right there, you're feeling after him, but you can't find him, but he's very close to us. For those of us that can't find him, he's close. You got to keep looking. He's right there. Just keep looking for him, because he has the breath of life that you need. Verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of our own poets have said, for we also are also his offspring. If it wasn't for God making that ark, giving Noah the breath of life to keep that breath of life going, keeping Moses going, keeping us going. He gave us the breath of life. That's why we're here. That's why he created us. He wants something special for us. He wants us to do something special with that breath. I know I take it for granted a lot of times. Oh, yep, I woke up. If it wasn't for God sustaining you throughout the night with the breath of life, you wouldn't have woke up. Do we thank him? Do we take it seriously that it's only through him that we have the breath of life? He also can take that breath of life at any time he wants. And there's a lot of people, including myself when I was younger, that think that you're untouchable. Nothing can happen to you. I'm young. God loves the world. I'm good. He doesn't promise us our next breath. So if you haven't come to repentance yet, first of all, thank him for the breath that you still have. But you need to be seriously thinking about that next breath you take. Could it be your last one? With that, we'll close. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we're going to have all the teens come back up, and we're going to sing Study Yourself That I Approved again, and we would ask you guys to join in with us. So I'll have a word of prayer. Lord, we thank you for all you've done. Thank you for the teens. Thank you for the juniors for joining us.